backlit girl. Love the mess, I watch the swirl of smoke from candles burning. While Mary looked up yearning, I got confirmed and I confessed. I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big tie.
This is the Free Thought Radio Hour. You got us with Daughter 5 and the Wombat. Welcome to the show. We'll be talking about atheism, free thought, humanism, rational thought, and science. And conversely, we'll also be talking about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And despite what Steve Martin would have you think, there are a lot of atheist songs. Matter of fact, anything that is not particularly religious or like a hymn or gospel is a secular song, and you can consider that an atheist song if you like. But there are some specific atheist songs that we have here on the show, and we'll be playing some of them a little later. And if you listen to Wozo Radio in the future, you can listen to it as part of the rotation as well. We'll be talking about atheists and rationalist groups that are here right here in Knoxville, and how you can connect with them. And did you know there's also an atheist television call-in show broadcasting right here in Knoxville? Yes, and has been for almost 6 years. We'll be talking about that too, telling you how you can listen to that. Do you remember the topic?
No, help me out.
I don't remember it either. I'll
I just know they had a little pleasant conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're curious about the last episode or any of the episodes of Free Thought Radio, no, Free Thought Forum TV show, you can go to YouTube and look up Free Thought Forum Knoxville. That's three words. Free Thought is one word. And you can find the archives on YouTube, and you can become part of the watchership, as it were. Today we'll be talking about several atheist-related ideas. Is atheism an unpopular idea? Do atheists tend to sell that idea? I'm one of those. I'm one of those who thinks that we need to, only because we need a more secular country, a more secular world, as it were.
I would argue that some people sell it better than others.
Oh, obviously.
But there's definitely a technique.
Mm-hmm. Like Christopher Hitchens was excellent in making his points and selling the case for non-belief. Some people say that Richard Dawkins is a little acerbic and doesn't sell well. Although, no, I'm just discussing it with you. Well, he has made that famous statement about God being the most egregious individual in fiction. He didn't use that word. He used several other words, but none of them pleasant. But at the same time, he has every reason to be able to back up those particular terms from passages in the Bible.
So it's not an argument of whether or not he's right, but is he a good salesman, or is he only preaching to the choir?
Right. You're going to have to talk a little louder. It's not going up very far.
Is he preaching to the choir?
See?
Now we're good.
No, I mean, you need to get it up here.
Yeah.
I was trying to tell the wombat he needs to stand a little closer to the mic.
Okay, how's this?
I guess.
Testing?
Yeah.
We're good?
Okay, that'll work.
I'll take that.
Okay, where were we?
So, are guys like Christopher Hitchens, Richard Dawkins, selling atheism well? And if not, what can we do to make that?
Right, and this is a call-in show. You can call in and talk to us about this very idea at 333-5937. And if you're out of the area, it's area code 865-333-5937. Be happy to talk to you.
So let me back up a little bit. You went to a Reason rally.
I did. I went to the Washington D.C. Reason Rally, second one in 4 years. So they don't have them that often.
I did not know that.
All right. As a matter of fact, it's only the second one they've had.
Okay.
So the first one drew about 30,000 people, but the only figure I've seen so far on this one was like 7,000. But I personally think it was more than that. I was there, and I think there were more than 7,000 people there. But I'm not got a lot of experience counting crowds.
There's an argument where about 20,000 people, about 20,000 people come to that area like every day or so, just to visit the monuments and whatnot.
I don't know. And if they do, they would at least be passing through. It wouldn't be a gathering that stayed there all day and then broke up in the evening.
Definitely people who were there.
Oh yeah, definitely. We had. If you know anything about the mall, I know about the mall. You know, you got two reflecting pools, and you've got in between them, you've got the Washington Monument.
Absolutely.
Well, the stage was set up at the end of the reflecting pool that was closest to Lincoln Monument, and the crowd couldn't stand in the reflecting pool. So they had to stand either side of it or sit on the grass on either side of the reflecting pool. And the crowd reached about halfway back to the Washington Monument.
That's a pretty good crowd.
Yeah. It was a good crowd.
And these are people who were flying out on their own money
To come there and be there and support the cause.
Hey, I can see why, that's an amazing thing.
Right.
Just get a turnout at all, that's amazing.
Well, I drove 10 hours at best to get there and then turned around 2 days later and drove back.
Just to argue with people.
No, I basically just sat as a spectator and watched all the great people
so
on the stage.
So you went all the way over there and you didn't argue with a single person just for the hell of it?
No, I didn't.
Could just watch it on YouTube and just had a fun time.
No, I wanted to be part. I wanted to be counted. Is why I went there.
Okay.
I didn't want the crowd to be one person smaller.
Okay.
I wanted to be there with my hand up, saying I'm an atheist.
Completely supported.
Exactly.
So there were other people who were there who were not atheists, right?
Yes, we had some believers show up and tried to engage us. There's nothing wrong with that, except you get two dissimilar crowds like that getting together, and there's an opportunity, if not a tendency, for violence to happen.
Serious?
Well, the police kept the religious people away from the atheists. There was one particular guy who got up there. I mean, we had the stage here with the entertainment, and he got up here on the left on the little grassy area next to it.
Yeah.
I hate to use grassy now,
but
too soon, and. He got out a microphone and started addressing the crowd while the person was on stage addressing the crowd.
No,
and he didn't last 15 seconds before the police told him to stop.
So
they were really on top of the situation.
I've noticed that there's a lot of passion that comes with trying to change someone's mind or at least state your point.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, people get very passionate. But if you're representing, say, Christianity, or if you're representing your religious choice, and you want to do it well so that other people will be convinced that you have a good point, don't you want to take a better, avenue than...
A higher road.
Yeah,
a higher road, as it would. I agree.
Okay.
Why don't they do that?
So we can put that on the list of things not to do. Scheduling an appointment.
Right. As a matter of fact, for the same point, I don't subscribe to the idea that atheists should go into churches and try to disrupt their services. And how often does that happen? Never?
I can't imagine of the time, but who knows?
Right. Well, what I'm saying is that it seems to be okay for religious people to do that, secular gatherings, but you don't generally have people of the atheist persuasion causing that kind of trouble.
So you know what? Here's the thing. The rule set, though, in religion, at least in certain religions, has a strict code on proselytization.
Meaning
that what he's doing with the megaphone is what he should be doing.
It's dogma. Yes, it is Christian dogma. It is solid Christian dogma. And it's also Muslim dogma.
For people who are saying, hey, we're not sure what's going on, it's your duty to convince those souls to go towards God.
Right.
So he's doing his job, at least in that sense.
Yes, I agree. Matter of fact, I would be more than happy to agree that a person who truly believes that the gospel is true
and
that you and I are going to hell,
yeah, and
would be should be in our face every minute of the day saying, you need to stop what you're doing because, you know, it's real.
As annoying as possible.
But you know how many people actually do that? How many Christians believe that hard?
Not many, but the one with the megaphone, at least.
One with the megaphone did.
We see you, we get you.
But there's another connotation to that.
Right.
Let's say that you like eating pie.
I love eating pie.
And you eat it every day, every chance you get.
Every day.
But you belong to a club who says you can't eat pie.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and you go around every day and you see these people out there happily eating pie every day.
Does this also include the McDonald's apple pie?
Yes, any kind of pie.
You're killing me.
And what I'm saying is, wouldn't you build up some real anger, some real, there's a term for it, I can't think of it.
Pent up
aggression against the people who are constantly eating pie in front of you.
Oh, is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. There are things that they can't do that they can't stand to see other people do.
Okay.
Masturbation, homosexual.
That doesn't mean they stop it. They just feel guilty. Absolutely.
They feel guilty. They feel angry that they can't. You know, they have all this pent up aggression and repressed emotions.
Sure. It could definitely make certain people really unstable.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that is part of what the anger is and aggression that we deal with from religious people is that they are living a life of non-fulfillment.
Let me help you out there. I think, okay, at least from the perspective of someone who's more recently religious, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have the perspective of if you eat pie or if you do sins, that's bad. And what the sin could be something as innocuous to me on this side as eating pie. But what hurts you when you see someone else eat pie is that it makes you feel isolated. It makes you feel alone. It makes you feel like you're maybe doing something wrong, like maybe we can eat pie. So the reaction there is to say, let me just be angry at him, see who else joins me, because at least then we're on a team.
It's not so much that as you've already got a million people joining you. Matter of fact, those people are pointing at you saying, you can't eat pie. You see what I mean?
Okay,
because the God is watching you every minute. Even when we're not with you, God is watching you. And if you eat pie, you're going to end up in hell.
Sure, I'm going to go with you on that. But what I'm saying is we feel fulfilled by telling someone not to eat pie, not because you feel unfulfilled that you need to.
Well, just you think of these.
It fulfills you to say, hey, everyone come around me. We need to stop people from eating pie.
Well, think of these.
That's good, and it's good for at least for them.
Yeah. Well, think of these street preachers and mega church preachers who preach so much against homosexuality.
Okay.
And then
do they still do it? Are they? I'm feeling a narrative being swapped where they were like, we've always been in support of homosexuality. I feel like a lot of churches.
Well, you will always find some where they will flip with the social memes and social temperature.
There's nothing in the Bible. Don't look at this.
But don't forget that there are still plenty of fundamentalists out there that day in and day out preach anti-homosexuality. But then you read in the news, you know, a year later where they've been caught with a male prostitute.
Sure.
You know, that's what I'm talking about. This is the kind of self-loathing.
Well, if you talk to a Christian, they'd say they were never Christian to begin with.
Right. Well, who is? I mean, it's the old Scotsman fallacy. You know, are you a true Scotsman? If you're not familiar with the fallacy...
We're going into fallacy mode.
And there's a tavern, and there's a guy comes in and says, "Let me have a whiskey, but I want a little bit of what flavor is whiskey? I don't drink whiskey. Yeah.
It tastes like whiskey. It's whiskey flavor.
Yeah. Let me have some seltzer in it. And a guy next to him says, That's not Scottish. You can't have Scottish whiskey with seltzer in it. And he says, yes, I can. I'm a Scotsman. I'm McDougal. He says, well, I'm McTavish and I'm a true Scotsman. You can't have one.
Yeah.
It's because, you're not a true Scotsman. Well, of course they are. They're both Scotsmen. They both claim Scott as their nationality and their heritage and all this. Well, same with Christians. Oh. You know, as soon as a Christian does something bad, they're not a true Christian. Who has to make the decision on whether a person is a Christian or not?
So what you want is a line in the sand.
No, what I'm saying is there are no lines. There is a broad spectrum of people.
Of people who all individually feel like they are the standard of Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Or at least claim Christianity.
But never wants to.
Right, but at one end of the one end of the spectrum, they're saying, homosexuality is okay. And, we've been with homosexuals for all this time.
Yeah.
And at the other end of the spectrum, homosexuals are abomination. They're going
to
hell.
Exactly.
But the people on the left are calling the people on the right not true Christians.
And they're both quoting the Bible.
Right, and they're both Christians, obviously.
So
I'm just saying it's a fallacy.
So what you're saying is you want a more unified approach, as in just homosexuality is bad 100% across the board among all adherents or adherents?
No. I think that you don't need to demonize homosexuality. You can't have a good... This has been going on for a long time.
Sure.
Give me one good non-biblical reason why men shouldn't get married or women shouldn't get married.
Okay.
You can't. There's not a good one. But the only reason that you can give me a reason is it says so in the Bible, which is a religious reason,
sure,
which is where I'm coming from. We need to get rid of those religious reasons because they're not valid.
Okay. You're coming at me with a pretty good argument right now. But now, say you're talking to a person who is Christian, who is religious,
uh-huh,
who does think that maybe homosexuality isn't necessarily the best path.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about, if you're trying to convince him that, for example, of your position, that maybe we don't know enough to say that the Bible is 100% true, do you target that argument and your way towards trying to convince him, or do you just give him the logic at the end of it?
Okay.
And then say, hey, and by the way...
Well, there's so much in the Bible that is contradictory and just crazy. Let's talk about this. I actually have a relative who's a gay Christian.
A gay, okay.
A gay Christian.
Whoa!
There are a lot of gay Christians out there.
Yeah,
and how can they live in this parallel universe where they have to segment their thinking right down the middle?
No,
do they live in the world of self-loathing?
Well, how do you think about it? There's more people who probably think gay is a more healthier term than an atheist. Like, if you say, hey, I'm an atheist, you might turn some people off. But if you say you're gay, there might be a lot of people who could be turned off, but they live in a particular location.
Well, they have come out of the closet basically before atheism has.
Mm-hmm.
Atheism, as a movement, hasn't come out of the closet except in the last 10 years. Gays have been coming out and being proud of being gay for quite a few years now, a couple of decades.
They have better parties too.
And better parades.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, they have basically showed us the way to be able to come out of the closet, be proud of who we are.
So that's a good point.
Yeah.
What are they doing that we could do? Seems to help.
One, come out. Don't live in the closet anymore.
Okay.
Two, be proud of who you are and be a good example to the rest of the world.
Okay.
Show that you live a life, a good, productive life with very little harm. And when you compare that to a religious person, let's say a fundamentalist, who shuns their daughter because she's gay or she's a lesbian, puts her out of the house, cuts her out of the will or whatever, and even if, like in the case of Islam,
okay,
if your daughter or son, for that matter, left the religion itself, the dogma of the religion says they must die. I mean, this is the problem that us atheists have been having with religion for years. I mean, for centuries, millennia. And the day is not here in America where religious people lynch us or burn us or kill us. But the day was here, and not in America, but in Europe, where they would create torture devices and put us in them and kill us that way. They would burn us at the stake. They would take our property, make us name other atheists while they're torturing us. You know, and if they, I could go off in 16 different directions right
now.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things you're saying.
But I'll let you answer.
So, at least from the commentary for the Islam part, just in case there's anyone listening, as far as I'm understanding, I know what you're quoting. I had to read the Quran twice. The thing about, if you tell that to a Muslim, they would want to stand up and say something. I can at least give the argument that they would provide, where it was written in a time when there was a lot of different tribes. And there was some people who would pretend they're Muslim and try to...
Oh, it varies today.
If there's any people who are like that, you
should... It varies today. The biggest religion of Indonesia in the Southeast Islands, or Southwest Islands in the Pacific, is Islam.
Yeah.
But they don't have the same fundamentalist type of viewpoint toward fundamentalism.
Yeah, there are different kinds of
Muslims. Than they do in the Middle East. However, when I'm speaking of Islam, I'm talking about the Middle East variety. And I'm also talking about fundamental.
Sunni or Shiite?
Both.
Okay.
You know, depending on if they're fundamentalists or not.
Okay.
I mean, I know Muslims now who are believing Muslims don't believe any of that stuff, you know. They're live and let live. They're good, productive citizens.
Absolutely.
But I've always said, and I've made memes out of this, a Christian or Islam or Jew or whoever the religious person is can be a good, productive citizen of society in direct proportion to how far they leave their religion behind.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That's a powerful thing.
Right. They can profess the religion and be of that religion, but as long as they don't practice the literal dogma of that religion, what it actually says in the Holy Book,
the more
productive and a good citizen they are able to be.
Oh, you know. That's an interesting point. You know, so just to get back on the point, so in terms of what we can do, or at least atheists can do, to adopt better strategies to sell atheism to non-believers or to believers, we have the gay movement, or the gay rights movement, or gay people in general, being proud, coming out, and also being productive and helping.
Living good lives, yeah. Being good people.
I think that works. I think that definitely works. What about on the iconography kind of sense? Like, I've always thought it was interesting how gay people have the rainbow. Because I love rainbows. If someone gave me a t-shirt that had a rainbow on it, I'd be like, yeah, I love rainbows.
Uh-huh.
But unfortunately, they've called refractive light. So I need to, like, have an extra rainbow. So I'm not necessarily gay. I just really, really like rainbows.
Yeah, I like rainbows.
I just like rainbows.
And never mind the unicorn.
I just love rainbows. They're great.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. What kind of iconography as atheists use?
Yeah, like if you go on Amazon.com, for example, if you want to get, like, say you really want to showcase atheism or humanism, for example, there's not a lot of logos to go with there. They're not necessarily stand out. You have that little ampersand
yeah.
thing. Uh-huh. You have the humanist logo, which just looks like a person. It could be a man.
Yeah, it looks like a person made out of the letter H.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, what...
Well, I have a Darwin fish on the back of my car. That doesn't necessarily mean that I'm an atheist. It could mean that I'm a Christian who does not buy into the creation story.
Oh, that's true.
You know, I believe in Darwin. I also believe in Jesus, that type of thing. But there are Darwin fishes out there that have the word atheist inside them.
Oh, okay.
So you could always use that. But again, you're right. That is iconography taken from Christianity.
Right.
Because it's basically a Christian fish.
So what I was thinking of, like, is, are there symbols, and I'm asking you, symbols that are easily recognizable and can be a positive marker for, hey, this guy's a free thinker?
Well, the only one I know of is, it's a symbol of an atom.
Okay.
You know, with three or four little electron rings going around it.
Sure.
And on the inside where the nucleus would be is an A.
Yeah, I've seen
yeah.
that. It's
a bit obscure. If you don't know what to look for,
exactly.
You know, you wouldn't know.
So in the effort of, like, trying to beat out, mm-hmm. or, like, at least trying to represent it boldly,
uh-huh.
it'd be nice to have...
a rainbow symbol.
Yeah,
or something like that.
Like, oh, yeah, a rainbow's colorful. Mm-hmm. It stands out.
Yeah.
It doesn't really, like, blend in with anything
yeah.
except other rainbows.
Well, there are some out there, but I don't really think they're good symbols. Like, the Latin cross, the Christian cross is called
yes.
a Latin cross.
Okay.
And if you have that with a no symbol around it,
oh.
but that just means no Christianity.
Yes.
It could be an Islam.
So
it could be a Muslim.
Back in the day, they used to have Irish symbols where there's a cross that's upside down. That was just meaning, yeah, we're not part of the state church or
right.
something else.
Yeah. So, yeah, we need a good symbol.
Yeah.
We need a uniting leader. But at the same
time, we need a leader.
Well, we need somebody who might be able to bring the disparate groups together. Right now, there are lots of groups out there. There's the American Atheists. There's the Freedom from Religion Foundation. There's the Sunday Assembly. The Secular Student Alliance. There's all kinds of and there's an atheist coalition,
yeah,
which is trying to bring those groups together to act as one one entity to be able to use the resources of the different groups to maybe be have a word say in Congress, or at least a representation. Can you imagine how much representation the different Christian organizations have in Washington right now?
So, I mean, if you're going on that point, I don't believe that politicians are in are interested in appealing to what is atheist doctrine, because there isn't really one.
There is no doctrine, no.
It's one question. And because of that, it's a question of, well, how many dumb people can I get to vote for me? Oh, all these people like to vote one way. I'm going to sell hats.
No, it's not so much.
Hats.
It's not so much what they put forward as positive. It's what they. I know what I'm saying. Let's say that you get a person up there like McConnell, and every time he's on TV, he's talking about supporting this Christian group or that Christian group, or praying,
yeah,
you know, and before he speaks, things like that. What if somebody would say, you know, come out and actually say, we're having too much religion in this country. We're losing sight of the fact that the country was founded on we the people and based on a constitution, not God and the Bible, which is actually the case. It's just the right hand Republican conservatives don't want to make that case, and won't make that case because they're too in bed with the religious right.
So my opinion is, yes, do religious factions have influence in America? Absolutely. Is it because they're religious? No. It's because they're a very large group of voters who are very active and have money.
That's why it's so important that we get what atheists that we have organized to be able to show that we're a large voting group. We have numbers that says that 25% of our country are nuns, meaning if you were filling out a religious form, you'd check none of the above. Now, they could be spiritual, they could be deists, they could be people that are
just
people. But the thing about it is 25% of the country, that's more than all the blacks in the country and all the Jews in the country put together. And can you imagine the sway of both of those groups? Getting behind a single banner and the politicians ignoring them?
If they have money, yeah. I mean, I can totally see it. You know, politics is maybe too murky of an issue, but it's still ultimately down to, one, can I get a lot of money from these people? And two, are these enough people to help me get a voting block down?
Right. Right. What we got to do is we got to get across to the politicians that the religious right voting bloc is shrinking.
Okay. Yeah,
and that the atheist voting bloc, or at least the non-religious voting bloc, the secular voting bloc is growing,
so
which is actually the case.
So we're experiencing a cultural shift.
We are.
Where we are largely becoming less adherent to religious doctrine.
Right.
You see that more on the West Coast, though, and maybe in the North. South is also turning around, too, especially in the bigger cities. But what is that? What is that really? What could that be correlated to? Aside from just more people coming in and out, we're forcing people to be exposed to different cultures as big cities spread, as commerce spreads, as our economy gets a little better.
Right.
Like, these are things that ultimately weed out ignorant ideas.
Okay. We've got a call coming in. We're going to try to take it. Hold on a second.
Yo.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, guys? How are you doing tonight?
Doing good, you?
I'm doing well.
Who do we have?
Edge, and I called a couple of weeks ago. I'm listening in tonight and thought I'd call in and weigh in on the, I guess, political atheism discussion going on tonight.
Okay, yeah. Sure, go for it.
We're trying to figure out a way how we could, I guess organization is also a big point of how we can sell our blank better. How would you
sure. Well, I was thinking, you know, one of the things is that, you know, atheists kind of come into a single force or whatever. We may be at risk of some of the same problems of, you know, having an atheist dogma or whatever. You know, somebody's going to try to impose their will on the movement instead of it just being more organic and just free thinkers and everybody kind of doing their own thing, which I understand is not very effective politically. It's kind of who and what we are.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
If you've got a leader, you've got somebody saying, no, this is what atheism, and no, this is what secular is about. No, this is what humanism is about.
And as soon as you have that first sex scandal, then everything just kind of falls apart, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can't have leaders without them setting dogma. You can have organizational leaders who don't have a particular horse in the race as far as what you have to think versus how you should think. In other words, using logic and reason to come to and science to come to valuable answers in life versus you should do that. That's one of the biggest problems that atheism has with religion is the should part of it. And even we could have a leader that doesn't buy into the should part, just an organizer, a facilitator, an administrator, as you would, could make the groups more effective.
So what you're asking is not necessarily a figurehead, just someone who could facilitate communication between all these groups across the world, or at least multiple of them.
And allow them to work together for certain causes.
To have a more effective...
Right, more effective voice in our nation's...
That sounds fair. No, I understand that.
Yeah, whether it's possible or not, I don't know. I find that kind of a leader.
There's probably some infighting in the community for sure. Mm-hmm. Let me put this towards you guys, though. Just on the whole, you know, atheism, the nuns, the discussion we were having, or you guys were having about that... the way I kind of see things playing out is maybe I feel like a lot of those nuns aren't necessarily people who would identify as atheists. They're not going to say, I don't, you know, a lot of people are just afraid of the title, and I, you know, maybe they'll.
Exactly. Yes, that's why I started the ASK, so that people could get used to the word, you know, Atheist Society of Knoxville.
Sure. So are you under the opinion that atheism, or at least atheist as a word, has a bad connotation or is at least unpopular?
Oh, I mean, at least that's, you know, my perception of how, you know, it's perceived out there. It's not mine. I'm fine with the title. I'm willing to claim it. I mean, it's got a lot of baggage, but... I just feel like when I meet somebody more than, you know, trying to hope that one day they see the light and become an atheist and realize that, you know, there's no such thing as magic and that, you know, there's nobody... up in the skies, doing stuff for them, all that. Yeah, I just want people to, you know, live like a secular lifestyle. And even if you want to believe something personally, that's fine. But just understand, you know, don't let that get in the way of like living a regular life, doing a 9-to-5 job. You know, don't put that whatever you think in the government. You know, as long as you live a secular lifestyle, and you know, we don't have to call it secular because I know some people won't like it or whatever, but. And I feel like that's where we're headed. I mean, honestly, I feel like that's where society is headed. You know, Hollywood gets a bad rap for being, you know, shallow and trashy and all this. But one thing I do applaud, you know, the West Coast Hollywood for is I really feel like they've moved our society more secular.
Well, yes. No, I agree. I think that if people could just get over the fact that they have to push their religion on other people, but that's hard to do when you've got the Great Commission pushing them to do exactly that. Yeah, and the fact that they feel that they, as a nation, will be punished if we do wrong, and that's another part of it that's a real problem.
Yeah,
you know, like Pat Robertson saying, you know, because the religious are allowed now, I mean, the homosexuals are not allowed to get married, you know, God's going to punish the world with earthquakes and floods and all this other stuff.
I'm not aware of He's still around.
Yes.
Yeah, but I feel like people are listening more to, like, you know, Selena Gomez and, you know, whoever else is on the West Coast than in Hollywood than Pat Robertson now.
Yeah.
Pat Robertson, you know, I mean, who cares about Pat Robertson?
He,
I mean, obviously.
He speaks to a very specific and very large demographic that gives him money that allows him to do all kinds of things and spread the concepts that he's sending all around the world that support all these ideas.
So it comes back down to money again.
Yeah.
It seems like it. Yeah,
it
does. By that, any organization
to make sure
it's all spent.
Yeah.
If I was correct.
Right?
Not necessarily like a figurehead, but just better organization.
Right.
Maybe I'm optimistic. I just feel like that kind of stuff's on the way out and that, you know, the next generation just is, you know, more interested in secular lifestyle.
They certainly seem to be so.
Yeah, I certainly think so.
But you go to, I hear so many stories about high schools and not elementary as much, but at least high schools where they still have these huge prayer rings and meet you at the pole and after school religious organizations and the church trying to get into the schools.
Yeah.
That worries me, even though that generation or the one after them is supposed to be so secular. You still see an awful lot of religious activity there.
The only thing that bothers me is when I'm driving down the street and there's like one beautiful church on one side of the block, then I drive one block down and there's another beautiful church on the other side, and it's another beautiful church on the other. It's like, none of these guys are paying taxes, but these are really, really nice institutions.
Right. But they can get people to give
totally
money.
Yeah, but I just wanted to get in on your conversation, but thanks for having me, and I'll let you guys get back to it. But
sure, call anytime.
Good to talk to you guys.
Thank you.
All right,
take care. And we're going to take a quick break. This is WZO Radio, 103.9 FM, low power, Knoxville, Tennessee. You can also listen to 103.9 on the Internet at WOZORadio.com. Now I'm going to have a couple of short messages and a song. Okay. And we'll be back in just a minute. If I can bring up my list. Hold on. And here we go. All right.
If you live in or around the Knoxville area and are questioning your religious beliefs or simply believe in one less God than everyone else, well, you're not alone. The Atheist Society of Knoxville is a fun and friendly group of people just like you that meets twice a week at a bar or restaurant. We meet every Tuesday night following the show at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria for happy hour. You'll find our group either inside or on the patio. Look for Richard Dawkins' silver-jacketed book, The God Delusion, standing upright on the table. But if you plan to preach, prophetize, provoke, or punch, please don't. We all question what we believe at one point in our lives. If this is the time for you, come join us for food, drink, conversation, and fun. Do you find stories of talking snakes laughable? Do you prefer the scientific method over supernatural beliefs? Are you concerned about religious leaders and organizations imposing their values and rules on your body, your family, and the rest of our society? Well, take comfort in the fact that you're not alone. The Rationalists of East Tennessee meets weekly for fellowship and provides a forum for people who support skeptical thinking and rational discussion of these and other issues. To find out more information or to find out about our next meeting, visit us on the web at www.rationalist.org.
And here's the thing I don't get, Adam said to the friendly voice in his head. Why is the sky blue? I told you before, the voice replied, exhausted. It's the refracted light thing from the sun. It's the white light and all the other colors in it. The whole thing I said. No, Adam interrupted, his hands still raking through the coarse hair on his chest. I meant more like, why blue? Like, blue? I mean, the ocean's already blue, guy. And when you think about it, I mean, grass is already green. That's pretty close to blue. It's just, I mean, don't you think you're overdoing it on the blue? I'm just saying. Don't you think? The voice let out a sigh. How about we take a break from the questions? Aw, why do we have to stop? Asked Adam. We just do, said the voice. You're angry again, groaned Adam. Didn't you say you wanted constructive feedback? I remember saying that. I didn't forget, answered the voice, annoyed. You're bumming me out. Well, Don't ask for constructive feedback if you don't want it, mister. Life isn't all about getting praised all day. The voice in Adam's head just sighed again. I'm just saying, it's an awful lot of blue. That's all. It's a very nice color, but a bit much. And, like I said yesterday, birds should have thumbs. They're so useful. I mean, look at this. I'm grabbing it, I'm dropping it. I'm grabbing it, I'm dropping it again. Think about how much more chipper birds would be if they didn't have to build houses with their face. I mean, think about that. Also, I got these two brown, nipply spots in my chest. I have no idea what these are for. Do you know you put them here?
Listen, Adam, said the voice.
From now on, you can keep asking your questions, but I won't be directly answering you anymore.
Huh?
Adam said, alarmed, his eyes still fixed on the blue sky above.
Why?
He asked. You know, it's up to you to find answers for yourself, man. I mean, honestly, that's what this whole thing is about, dude. Oh, Adam said, nodding slowly at first, but then with greater resolution, with purpose, meaning.
Okay, then. I got it.
Oh, by the way, the voice said, fading away. Make sure you don't eat any of those apples on top of that tree on that hill over there.
What, those apples?
Asked Adam.
Why not?
There was no response.
And we're back. Was that you on the...
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's good.
And here's...
Okay. All right, so we were talking about the term atheism.
Yeah, it has a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
Why does that have a lot of baggage?
I don't know. Well, it's got a lot of baggage because religious people put a lot of baggage on it. They put a lot of negative connotations to it over the centuries.
So once upon a time, there were people, and then someone came to those people and said, hey, I have a great story. And other people were like, yeah, we don't believe that. But those people ahead of time... were atheists, or at least people who didn't have any religious beliefs. Then someone came with religious beliefs, and whether they believed it or not, that started to speak, in a sense. But since the beginning of time, as long as people have been talking to each other,
A lot of people don't realize that Socrates was put to death. He was really put to death because he was a troublemaker.
he was annoying.
He'd go around and ask people, Well, now he asked questions that people didn't really want to answer. They didn't even want to think about those questions, much like today's atheists. But the official reason he was put to death was atheism.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because he didn't believe in the gods of the community that he lived in. Roman gods, I guess.
Whatever.
It could have had a Roman influence, but in Greek. Yeah. But that was the official reason why they put him to death. It made him drink hemlock. This has been going on for at least 2,000, 3,000 years. Longer. Yeah. I've got some videos out there called Atheism 101 and where I talk how religion's got their start. Because religion isn't one thing. Well, atheism is the non-belief in a God.
All right, so if we're saying that, then there's a lot of different people who have that position.
Right, but anything beyond that is something else. Yeah, it's humanism or whatever.
But then let's try to pinpoint then what the issue is in that we have atheism, which is one thing, but we're trying to sell it to a lot of different kinds of people, or at least try to say its benefits, or convince other people why this one position is good.
Yeah.
But you need different methods to do that.
Well, first of all, you need to de-demonize the word atheism. And the very reason that I used atheism in my title of my group is, one, I wanted to appeal to those people who were being demonized for being atheists, but were strong enough to come out and be recognized as atheists. The second thing is, I do not want to appease or try to appease the very people who vilified the name in the first place. In other words, you got a bunch of different religions and a lot of people telling you that atheists are bad, baby eaters or whatever, dirt demon worshipers. Those are people that are lying and vilifying the name of atheism, the very word atheism. And I'm not going to say, oh, I'm not an atheist, just to appease those people.
So like I said, I've been religious. Coming to you from this perspective,
I understand that atheism is one thing's lack of belief. On that end, there are different levels, I would imagine, of people who are positive atheists, negative atheists, people who are...
There's a Dawkins scale, have you heard of that? Have you not?
Well,
I guess he did, but
oh
he, what it is, he this put guy. It in a book, and oh. he didn't, I don't know if he called it that himself, or other people called it because he put it in that book
okay.
that he wrote.
Oh,
there's, so there's a non-belief scale, yes.
Yeah.
And as for, one, if you believe in God. If you are a fundamentalist Christian, if you're a fundamentalist Christian and God rules your life, you know, that type of thing, you're a one.
Yeah. Oh.
If you're a complete atheist, you can actually say there's no God, which is a pretty strong statement because nobody knows for sure.
Well,
but anyway, he says that's a seven. And no, that's a seven.
That's
so 99% of atheists out there are 6.9
okay.
because they don't believe in God. But they can't say.
So what's the 10?
Oh, there is no 10. There's no 8 or 9 or 10. Just 1 to 7.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Dawkins. Come on, put it
there. You know, read his book. I didn't write his book. Read his book.
Who has a base 7 scale? Come on.
I don't know.
10.
Yeah.
10
but anyway, I'm a 6.9. I don't know that there's no... I mean, we talked about this, like sure. agnosticism versus atheism. I don't believe in God,
sure.
so I'm an atheist.
But it sounds like from 1 up, it's all atheism. But they're just
No. You can be an agnosticism from like 1.5 up to
6.9. Every single time I bring this up, agnosticism versus atheism, two completely different questions.
They are.
Is this a scale based on belief, or is it a scale based
Scale based on belief, so you're right. You're
on.
Right. Agnosticism shouldn't be on.
I should get a cookie.
You should.
First time.
Good catch.
So, Ben, I guess what I'm saying is, I feel like the religious people who are saying, who are putting a bad name on atheism are those sevens that
yeah.
they're targeting.
In my own defense on that last thing that we were talking about, I don't think that Dawkins really understands the atheism versus agnosticism thing. So I think that he maybe included that in the scale,
okay.
Even though I wouldn't,
sure.
you know, because it's a belief scale.
A lot of people take the term agnostic as a confidence marker,
mm-hmm.
and we'll use that just as much as I'm not sure if I believe.
Right. Well, there's also, I can't remember who said it.
I just don't like the term atheist.
Yeah,
so
right. Agnostics are atheists who lack courage is a way that
statement.
I have heard it.
Okay.
But they use more colorful vernacular than courage.
So speaking of colorful vernacular, I used to go by the term spiritually unaffiliated
mm-hmm.
for a really long time when
yeah.
I was leaving and doing
yeah.
my own
right.
So, yeah, there are words out there.
Yeah, but you're still going to hell.
that's
when you say spiritually unaffiliated, the fundamentalist hears he's not a Christian,
yeah,
he's going to hell.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, okay. And, of course, the Muslim would hear the same thing. You know.
Yeah, sometimes they hear that and they hear an opportunity mm-hmm. to do their stuff.
Yeah.
Too, so
yeah.
It's all depends on what
yeah. This is where I like to always step in and say everybody's going to somebody else's hell.
So what I thought of is, are there cool ways to say I'm an atheist without necessarily dropping the A-bomb but still getting the same point across and still having the curse behind it? I like, for example, saying, I tend to believe in one less God than most other people.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a lot of words.
It is a lot of
yeah,
words.
But no, I guess it gets the word across.
It avoids a label that
you
has any baggage behind
you,
it.
I can do it in four words.
All right.
I don't believe that stuff. Is that five words?
I don't believe that stuff.
Okay, close enough. Just say, if somebody talks to you about their religion or something, you say, I don't believe that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's...
If you play it off confidence,
yeah,
it works. Right?
Yeah. They're left scratching their head because they don't know where to turn.
But it also can be a little dismissive.
Well, at the same time, you might want to go for that. You may want to dismiss the subject and move on. I mean, you may not want to appear to confront them. You know, and make it a major thing. Matter of fact, I've written an article on my website, digitalfreethought.com, about coming out of the atheist closet. And one of the things I have on there is, it is, but if you come out, like to your family or friend or whatever, don't make a big thing out of it. Don't make it an announcement.
Yeah.
You know, let it come up naturally in your conversation and just make them respect your position like they demand respect for their position.
So
you're an adult, they're an adult. You have the right to your own beliefs, they have a right to their beliefs.
I agree completely. How about we role play this out just with
Certainly.
I'm putting on my hat.
Your Christian hat?
Christian hat.
Okay. Screw it down.
What's up?
Hey, fine.
I'm going to church. Do you go to church?
No.
What? You don't go to church?
No. I'll actually tell you what I told somebody the first time they asked me that.
All
right. After I decided to come out of the closet.
Okay.
I said, it would be kind of dumb for me to go to church.
Why would it be dumb for you to go to church?
Because I'm an atheist. You know, and they said, oh, no, you're not. I mean, just like that. Because they knew me. They knew I was a good guy. They'd known me for years. And I had decided to come out of the closet. It was no big deal. They asked me to go to church. I said, no, thanks. I don't go to church, basically. And they asked me why, and I told them. I didn't make it a big announcement. I just said, I'm an atheist. And they could not believe it. And they said, oh, no, you're not. I mean, it was just like that. I mean, it was a girl. And she said, oh, no, you're not. It's like that.
Oh, because they probably never met an atheist.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they had heard these things from religious people all their lives. The atheists were baby eaters, demon worshippers, worshiped Satan, you know, probably loved black magic and metal music.
Okay.
You know.
What's wrong with metal music?
Well, to a fundamentalist Christian, it's devil music.
There are Christian metal bands out there.
Now.
Yeah. You haven't heard of the Sword? They're great.
No.
They're not necessarily Christian.
No, no, but I believe it. But the person who was talking to me was into country music, and metal was devil music to him anyway.
There are metal bands that had the full regalia of like a dark version of the Catholic Church, and when satanic worship is a thing in that group as well. So we have to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in that mindset,
sure.
Worshiping the devil, even if you were actually doing it. Would be farther removed from atheism than atheism. I mean,
yeah.
it's the opposite because you're still worshiping a supernatural entity as a god or not, and, right. And atheism would not do that.
So these are great points. I think so that what we've learned then is if we're trying to sell atheism, there are a lot of different ways to do it, not only just from being organized, better organized, being out, being confident, but also if we're confronted with a question, not making it a big deal, dismissing it if using the appropriate tone when you're asked that kind of question, and then maybe what we can work on, I guess, as a group, which is also our organization aspect, is the iconography that's related to it.
Yeah, I've been trying to think of a good word, people have come up with nice brights.
What's
you know,
have on his shirt? There's a guy
Lee? He has Nothing fails like prayer.
Nothing fails like prayer.
Like, that's good. I mean, it's certainly there. And you could get the same results from praying to a milk carton or Joe Pesci. You know, it's yes, no, or yes, no, or wait, no matter who you pray to. Yeah.
So, pretty cool.
And telepathy has never been proven to be true anyway. There's no substantiated instance of a person or a thing reading your mind. This is just pure speculation and claims of the religion.
It feels good,
I guess. If you think that you've got an all-powerful creator of the universe that loves you more than any parent ever loved a child.
Sure.
You know, but if you look at the Bible, the most common way that God interacts with people is to kill them or give them plagues.
So you're saying... Okay, hold on.
That's not love. I'm sorry.
You're saying there are quotes in the Bible where God is specifically telling one person to kill another person.
Yeah.
Why don't we Bible study up?
Okay.
Are some things that we should look up?
Well, did he not? Well, I don't know the actual conversation, but did he not tell Moses or David that when he went into villages or cities to kill every living thing, spare no one, nothing?
I'm not too sure.
I'm not a student of the Bible. I have problems with particular verses. But I know for sure. I mean, look at the Amalekites. They totally destroyed the village, killed every living thing, man, woman, children, animals, anything that breathed.
Right.
And it was on the order of God.
Yeah, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. Yeah, absolutely. Like, for example, even Abraham and Isaac is literally telling us back to your kid. Or there's an instance of a story later on. This guy named Jesus, I don't know if you heard it or not.
No.
Yeah, he had to be, like, human sacrifice himself.
Yeah. Oh, not only that, have you heard of Jephthah?
Yeah.
Yeah, where he goes home.
Yeah, he promised God that he would kill the first thing that came out of his house if he let him win the battle.
You make the argument that was just a really bad bet.
It doesn't matter. It's human sacrifice. Yeah. God stopped Abraham, but God did not stop Jephthah. He accepted this sacrifice.
Yeah. Jesus Christ is a sacrifice in his own right, too.
Yeah.
So,
well, not only that, but it didn't have to happen. I mean, God is all-powerful. He can do anything. He's omniscient. I'm omnipresent. I'm omnipowerful. I'm omnipotent.
Do we have a weird time for...
We've got about 3 minutes, maybe two.
Here's my weird theory. This goes back to Satanism. At least from the Satanist worshipper's perspective, the Bible is, in its own right, a book more or less coalesced by Satan himself to make you not worship God, but at least see that it's good enough.
Oh, yeah, I've espoused that theory myself, that the Bible could have been written by Satan, because in the Bible, it doesn't look like it, but remember, the serpent was not Satan. There's preachers have been saying that the serpent was Satan, but there's nowhere in the Bible does it say that the serpent was Satan.
Okay.
But in the Bible, God kills millions of people, all the way through it.
Yeah.
And the entire population of the world at one point, except for one family. How many people does Satan kill?
He
killed Job and his family.
Yep. Oh, he did?
After he got permission from God.
Oh, I thought that was God doing it.
God, Job says, you can do all this to him.
You know,
but he says, let me kill his family and let's see what he does. And God says, okay.
Oh, I thought he said God killed him, and then watch how he's going to badmouth you afterwards.
It was actually Satan that killed him, but only after God said he could.
Okay.
So, Satan, if you look at it from that perspective, Satan comes out smelling like a rose, so you would think that it would have been him that wrote this thing rather than the guy who kills everybody.
Sure. Yeah.
But that would be the biggest trick in the world, wouldn't it? For Satan to create the Bible.
Yeah. What do you do? So then I guess... Last point then.
Yeah, we've got about a minute.
You're God. You are God right now, and you want to have a good image for yourself. What do you do? Christians are getting it wrong. Atheists are doubting you, making you look bad.
Okay, if
you're
I'm God,
you're enthroned in heaven.
If I'm God and I want to redeem my image?
You just want to redeem your image and just set the record straight. What do you
Okay, first thing, I would rewrite the Bible, and I could do the entire thing with a thought.
Okay.
I would make a foreword to it and say, sorry, I've been absent. You know, Satan wrote the Bible that you knew to this point. Here is what I really want you to do. And then it would be nothing but love each other, minimize harm. Here's the secrets of the universe, legalize marijuana. Here's all the physics you've been working on. Here's your grand unified theory, and I would spell out in stars over the earth in every language conceivable, sorry, I love you, I won't do it again. How's that? Okay, we need to close the thing.
Sorry, I love you, I won't
do it again. I mean, think of all the stuff that, how many people believe that he flooded New Orleans?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this I'm going to sign out with the green cards, Outskirts of Blue. Do you have any last parting thoughts?
Sorry, I love you.
Okay, and we'll see you next week.
Anyway, makes me smile when I